This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, John Jastrzemski of The Ringer is going to join us. We'll talk some Major League Baseball, the NL East, the AL East, Mets, Yankees, Red Sox. Get his thoughts on the baseball season, UConn, St. John's this weekend. So maybe do a little college basketball, maybe some NFL thoughts on where these quarterbacks might go, the NFL next year. In terms of some early sleepers, as we enter, believe it or not, the final weekend of February, man, that feels good to say. That sounds good to hear. I'm just going to say it again. The final weekend of February. Wasn't so bad, was it? It is going to be good. February, that's the one thing about February. It is a shorter month, so we will turn the calendar next Friday into Saturday. Next Saturday is March 1st, so feel like you kind of made it. Again, once you get past the All-Star weekend, you do feel like you kind of made it. So conference tournaments start soon. And once that calendar flips to March, just psychologically, it's eventually you turn back the clocks. It's, baseball's around the corner. You know, March Madness is here or close. So we are, this is the final weekend of February. It is a good feeling to know you get through these sort of dog days here, and brighter days are ahead, literally. With the longer days, especially here in the East Coast. But we'll start with some baseball, just a couple newsy things here. A lot of the talk, and I was doing the show with Dustin for Wednesday when Trenton Casas from the Red Sox started talking about, who should play where. Devers should play third. I should play first. This guy should play there. You could look at it, if this were the NBA, I think the Red Sox would have a major problem on their hands. But and first of all, as great a hitter as he, and he's not a good hitter, he's a great hitter. He gets hit in big spots, hits home runs, puts the ball in. He's just a monster, monster offensive player. He stinks in the field. This is an easy decision. You put him at DH and you say, you know what? You live with it. I know he can complain all he wants. I was promised third base and this and that. I mean, look, and Cora said it perfectly. He said, you know what? The guy that promised him third base, he works in St. Louis now, so go talk to him. So I don't know what the solution for Boston is, other than the easy solution, and that is Bregman's a tremendous third baseman, a tremendous defensive player. Devers absolutely stinks in the field. Putting him at first base is not that easy. First base is not an easy position, especially if he's going to mope and be unhappy. You don't want a situation where he's out there and he's disgruntled, he's half-heartedly into it. That's a tricky position to begin with. And it's an important position because you're handling the ball a lot. You're scooping out long throws, cut off. There's a lot of things that go into first base. I wouldn't want him at first base at all. Just put him at DH. What's he going to do? Tank his own at bats, go up there and strike out on purpose. And you know what? He's under contract. This isn't the NBA. You can't just, bat your eyes and get traded if you're that unhappy. And I don't think this would be enough to constitute a trade. I know he wants to play third base. You got to have an adult conversation with him and tell him, you know what? You're not our best third baseman. Now, players, that's the other thing that does make this tricky. A lot of players don't like DHing because it feels like they're pinch hitting four times. It feels like they're not in the game. But you know what? It's probably the best solution. Again, this would not be enough to keep me off of the Red Sox in terms of them having a good season. The additions of Buehler and Crochet and Bregman, who they completely overpaid for, but he's a winning player. He's going to fit well in that ballpark. And they've got kids coming, whether it's, Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. There's a lot of reasons to like the Red Sox, and they've got a good manager, a good home field advantage. They've been spunky these past couple of years, an athletic roster. So I think that they're in line to, could you call it just a straight three-team race, Yankees, Orioles, Red Sox? I think you could. I don't think there's that much of a gap between the Yankees and these other teams. I like the Yankees pitching. I like their bullpen. But if you told me right now, it's actually the Red Sox that won the division, I'd be mildly surprised, but not really. The Red Sox are going to be a good team. Red Sox are going to be a really good team. And, you got to figure out the Devers thing. But to me, it's a pretty easy solution. You just stick his ass at DH and you move on. And you just say, you know what? You go up there. You're not going to get hurt as much when you're hitting. There's not as much wear and tear on your body. Just go up there. You know what? When Bregman wants a day off or if someone gets hurt and you can revisit it, in terms of playing the field, but for the most part, you play DH, and that's just how I would solve it. And I think the Red Sox are in line for a good season. The other newsy one that's happened in the last week or so, Frankie Montas being hurt is one that you read the headlines, it's like Frank Montas is expected to win a Cy Young. He's okay, middle of the rotation guy. But if you look, and for some reason, with it being football and your mind's on other things, you actually see the Mets rotation on paper in order, and they just showed it in order. And something about just seeing it written down 1 through 5, Manaea, who's good? He's not great. He's certainly not an ace. He's an okay number two. We'll see what he can do this year after a good second half last year. But Manaea, Senga, who's good, but he's brittle. Even going back to Japan, he's always had a history of being injury prone, reputation of being injury prone. Clay Holmes is your three, and then they're going to fill it out with David Peterson, who's a gamer. Look, he's a gamer, but he's not like an all-star caliber pitcher or anything. Griffin Canning is your number five. That is not for a team that put the money into Soto. You can't coming off an NLCS. This is a team, you can say what you want. They're hoping to win a championship. You break spring training, you go to spring training with the idea that, all right, we were 2 wins away from a World Series last year. We had Soto, who's one of the three or four best players in baseball. This is about winning a World Series. You're not winning a World Series with that pitching. That pitching stinks. That starting pitching is awful. Now, the bullpen is not bad in a lot of these games. As we know now, it's becoming more of a bullpen sport, more specialized. You know what? You get four, even five good innings out of the starter, and you just kind of turn it over and play the matchups, and you go from there. And that is a monster lineup with Alonso, Lindor, Soto. So you can, that's a formula that's going to win a lot of games. If you do have a good bullpen, you have that lineup, you're not going to need much out of the rotation. But when you get to October, you're still going to need starting pitching, and that is just not good enough starting pitching. Now, maybe Senga stays healthy, and he's, the guy we saw 2 years ago. Maybe Manaea can duplicate the second half of last year and be a legitimate, number two co-ace kind of guy. Maybe Holmes steps up. I know a lot of the scouts say he's got the repertoire, he's got the assortment of pitches that could play as a starter. Okay, but as your three, I don't know. I don't think that's really good pitching at all. You could say, well, we'll get somebody at the deadline. Yeah, but well, first of all, you don't know who's going to be available at the deadline. You're just picking off of bad teams. More teams make the playoffs now more than ever, so it's not like, you're getting your pick of aces up and down the roster of these teams or number twos. It's slim pickings, and there is such a demand for pitching at the deadline that these teams that have the pitching ask for so much that you're really paying a premium for it. So I think the Mets, and I'm not sure, I'm not ready to pick a division winner there. Yeah, I'm really not ready to pick a division winner in the East yet. I'd still go with the Yankees. I think they have enough starting pitching, enough bullpen, but you could definitely convince me Boston or Baltimore wins that division. I don't think there's much of a gap between those two teams, between those three teams. I think the Mets, it really makes it hard to pick them to win that division with that lack of starting pitching. So we'll see what you get out of the Phillies. We'll see how, the Braves had a lot of guys who had bad years, a lot of injuries, Strider and Acuna, and just a lot went wrong for them. We'll see if they bounce back, which I would think they would. It's a good organization. They're smart. They're smart in terms of their scouting. They always got players popping up all over the place. That's a well-run team. I would not count them out, and I wouldn't count Philly out. I know you could say bottom of the lineup, bottom of the rotation. It's still a good bullpen. You still have Harper and Wheeler and Nola. I think Lizardo will be an underrated addition for them. So that's again, a legitimate three-team race. So it's going to be I would expect injuries always play into this, obviously. Could you have a both AL East and NL East where the top three teams from both divisions are within like 5 games? I don't think that's far-fetched at all. I think it's a very tightly contested race, really between the three and the AL East, really between the three and the NL East. I think you can kind of throw a blanket over all three teams in both divisions, the six teams combined. So we will see what John Jastrzemski thinks. We'll get his thoughts on some baseball, some UConn St. John, some football. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him at the Ringer, the New York podcast. He's our buddy. He is back. It is John Jastrzemski. JJ, what's up, man? How have you enjoyed the post football season? I talk to some people like in our business, I like the time off. Other people, I hate this time of year. Where do you fall here on this sort of dead time between the Super Bowl and March Madness?
I'm somewhere in the middle, to be honest with you, Will. Like, I miss the grind of knowing, hey, football's on Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and the build up, the anticipation, and kind of everything that comes with it. But I'm not gonna lie, it allows you to kind of clean up some loose ends in your personal life. It allows you to breathe a little bit until you hit March Madness and until you hit the baseball season and until the NBA and the NHL playoffs really get going in April. So I've enjoyed it. That said, got a pretty eventful Sunday here, which is nice because you don't get many of those after the Super Bowl until the tournament. And we have one Sunday in New York, Knicks with the Celtics and the Johnnies taking on UConn. So my Sunday afternoon, as I told my wife, afternoon is booked.
Yeah, it's a good point. I hadn't really thought of it from that perspective. I was going to start with baseball, and we'll get to that. But since you brought it up, just a couple quick college ones. Are you a believer? Is it Celtics Thunder in the finals? Can we just fast forward to that or not necessarily?
So I want to tell you yes, but injuries can happen. Team coming out of nowhere like Dallas last year can happen. Let's put it this way, Will. I think the Knicks have a really good team. I think they're a 50-win team. I think they're probably one of the five best teams within the NBA. That all being said, until I see otherwise, I think they have no chance against the Celtics. I just don't like the way they match up. I think Boston really does a brilliant job of exploiting the Knicks defensively. They go after Karl-Anthony Towns. They got a gazillion guys who could shoot threes. They present matchup problems that, simply put, other teams do not. So I don't see the Knicks beating the Celtics. I think the Celtics are going to be there. I think the West, because of the inexperience of Oklahoma City, and I know they're grading out great from like a metric standpoint. They're on pace to win 67, 70 type of games, but it's a young team. They face a little adversity. If it's the Joker, if it's whoever, that to me is where I think the apple cart gets upset. I think Boston will be there. I'm not a believer in Cleveland. I think Oklahoma City is the team that could get picked off.
Can St. John's actually win a title, or they don't have enough shooting?
A title is probably asking a lot. It's asking a lot. Now, I never like betting against Rick Pitino, and you're catching me right after I finished up episode two of Red Storm
I
Rising
gotta
on
watch it.
Vice.
I started one a part of one. It looks good.
Yeah, listen, it's the Rick Pitino propaganda tour on full display, but I'm here for it, man. I'm with it. Like, the guy has won everywhere. His teams are incredibly tough. And not only that, if you go back to his Louisville days, they would get better as the season would go along. I bet him in Louisiana when I was down at Super Bowl week, plus 500 to make the Final Four. I don't know what a bracket looks like. Obviously, that could be a good number. That could end up being a terrible number. I just want a little skin in the game. I think they can definitely get to the Final Four. I do think eventually, when you're as limited from a shooting sense as they are, sooner or later you're going to get picked off. I don't know who that team is, but I think sooner or later you get picked off. But don't be surprised if they go deep into March, man. They're tough. They're well coached. They're versatile. That's an impressive St. John's team.
Yeah, I could live with the lack of shooting. What bothers me from a, just backing them from a tournament standpoint, it's funny. I was talking about them since last spring, early in the year, and I have no futures on them somehow, which is frustrating. The free throws. I can live
Oh,
with
they'll
no
kill
free
you.
throws. The free throws will
They'll
kill you.
kill you. Will, as a Syracuse guy, you don't got to tell me about free throws, man. That will kill you in a big game, in a tight game. And if you go back to one of their losses earlier in the year against Baylor,
Yep.
what killed them? The free throws. They were up two in double overtime chance to, or in overtime chance to win the game. Go 0-2, Baylor hit a three, game set match. That's how you lose a tournament game.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of Syracuse, if it were up to you, would you bring the coach back, or would you? Do you see what happens in Louisville? What happens in some of these other spots where, if you find the right guy in this portal era, you can win, boom, right away? Would you be tempted to move on? What would be your decision if it was up to you?
Yeah, we'll be tempted to move on. This season, I tweeted about this about a week ago. I watch religiously Syracuse throughout this time of the year. I have been the most checked out, Will, I've been on Syracuse basketball my entire life because they have no chance of making the tournament. The team is completely unwatchable. They stink. Yeah, if I was the AD, I would be very, very tempted to go and make a coaching change. I don't think they will. And the reason I don't think they will is because they have a loaded recruiting class coming in. Now, again, that means very little in this day and age of transfer portal, NIL. Pitino basically just said, I don't want high school freshmen anymore. I just don't want to deal with it. I want to have guys who are ready to go. They are polished. They know the college game in and out. But I do think what's going to happen here with Melo's kid coming in, White, who's another big recruit, they're going to give Autry another year. But I do think next season, it's an NCAA tournament mandate, and if he doesn't get to the tournament next year, he's going to be fired. That's my personal take.
All right, let's switch gears here to some baseball. Do you buy with the Red Sox? They add Bregman, you throw that on top of Buehler or on top of Crochet. Do you think this is a legitimate three-team race in the AL East? Is it the Yankees, then a gap? How do you view the top three here in the AL East?
Oh, I definitely think the Red Sox are a threat. No question. I'll take a step further. I think they're the biggest threat to the Yankees in the American League because they got a manager who takes great satisfaction in sticking it to the Yankees. You have a star player. Yes, he's disgruntled about his position right now, Devers. I get that. But he kills the Yankees. And more specifically, he kills their best pitcher in Gerrit Cole. Like, Gerrit Cole just can't pitch to the guy. Like, can't have it. They're athletic and they improved their team. They went and added Crochet. Buehler, maybe he's not going to be the guy he was in 2021. I think he's going to profile nicely as a number three starter for them. So they add two high quality pitchers. They add Bregman to the lineup. They have a lot of young guys. They have more young guys coming. I compare and contrast them with the Orioles. The Orioles, yes, underperformed last year. And you want to tell me, hey, Rutschman's going to be better. Holiday's going to be. You could live in that world. What did they do to improve their team? They did absolutely nothing to go and improve their team. So the Orioles, for me at least, do not keep me up at night. They lose Burns. They lose Santander, who also, by the way, kills the Yankees religiously. Now he's in Toronto. The Central teams don't scare me. The Astros are not as good. I think Boston, I already bet them over 84 and a half wins. I think they're going to have a really good season.
What how many wins you think are for the Yankees?
Low 90s.
Okay.
Low 90s. Yeah, I think they're in the low 90s. That's what, I think that pitching is going to be tremendous. I think Cole is going to have a big year. I do. I think Cole getting all the way back from that injury he had, he, I think, is going to pitch great. I think Fried, if he can take the ball every fifth day, is going to be one of the better starters in the American League. But again, this is a guy who misses time. So do not be surprised if you get Max Fried only throwing 150 or 160 innings, because that's not just him. That's kind of baseball in general now with these starting pitchers, even the good ones. They don't go as deep into games. They are going to miss some time. You're going to have to deal with that. I think Bellinger, slam dunk. I think Goldschmidt is going to be better than people think. I think he's going to be a pro. I do not think Paul Goldschmidt is Josh Donaldson. I think he's going to come in and hit 240, 250, 20 to 25 bombs, and people are going to be like, oh, what's the big deal on that? Well, the big deal is, well, they had the worst production at first
Oh, it was a black
base
hole.
out of any team in baseball. So I think you'll like those two guys. They're not replacing Juan Soto. People need to get the, hey, are they Soto? No, they're not Soto. They won't be Soto, but they're going to be pros. And if Dominguez can answer the bell, I think the Yankee lineup, once they go and get, and they'll get a third baseman midway through the year. That's the way I see it. They're not getting somebody now. They'll give the cast of thousands a chance to go and hold down a position. Newsflash, they won't. And in June or July, we'll be talking about whoever the big third baseman is. I don't know if it's McMahon in Colorado, if it's Arenado again. The Yankees midseason will get a third baseman. But I think in the low 90s, that's where I see him.
McMahon would be a nice. I think I wanted him at the deadline too. Balance the lineup, lefty bat. You know, that's he's versatile. I wouldn't mind McMahon. And you hit on the two guys that are to me the key. Now the key, we. I mean, there's no point of even having this conversation. You need basically 140 plus games out of Judge. They're not built to sustain that 4 to 6 weeks 4 to 6 week absence of Judge. And Judge was healthy last year. Soto was healthy. Boy, without Soto now, Judge better stay on the field. And getting older, he's been prone to these in the past, a little better these past few years, but got to keep Judge on the field. But Goldschmidt and Bellinger, to me, are the key. Can you get 50-something homers, big hits? Goldschmidt, the bar is lower, like you said, because there was no first base. But to me, those two are the key, especially with Stanton, which I think Stanton is what it is at this point in the regular season. 30 homers, he's going to miss some time, but he's going to hit low average, but homers when he plays. But to me, the two new bats are really what's going to determine the season.
Yeah, and Bellinger provides a lot of versatility defensively. Like, he is a tremendous all-around player. And I want to see his power go up. You know, if you watch games at Wrigley Field now, I don't know which, I feel like anytime I watch a game at Wrigley Field, the wind is blowing in. I went to two games in September at Wrigley Field, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, with the wind blowing in, how the hell are you hitting the ball out of the ballpark right now? It's legitimately impossible to do. He's now going to get 81 games at Yankee Stadium. He's going to hit more home runs. I think the fear for a guy like Bellinger, who has cut down on strikeouts and, you know, has kind of developed, hey, a more all-around game, putting the ball in play, running the bases. I don't want him to morph back into a guy who's hitting 205, staring at that short porch at Yankee Stadium saying, hey, I'm just trying to destroy it and devour it. Let the home runs go up organically, but keep doing your thing.
Yeah, my problem with these guys, and I think they'll be, I'm generally optimistic on them. It's just, and it's so different than, 15 years ago, the prime Yankees. Seems like every one of these guys they get comes here and does like a little less than you'd expect, whether it's the Donaldson or the Gallo or the Benintendi. You just go down the line of these last few trade deadlines. It used to be, you put the Yankee uniform on, you put those pinstripes on, and you get a 15% boost. You're just automatically better. It would drive other teams nuts. Now it seems like it's gone the other way.
It's unfortunate, that's for sure. Gallo, I never liked. Thought it was an awful move when they made it. Thought he fit the team terribly. Donaldson, same sort of deal. Benintendi was some bad luck because to me, he was a guy that was starting to really find it with the Yankees. And remember, he broke his wrist. He never ended up coming back. I won't kill the Rizzo move. They actually got good years out of Rizzo last year. He was completely shot and completely cooked. But it's a different looking Yankee team. I think that's the thing. Last year, the reason they got to the World Series is they had one of the best 1-2 punches in the history of baseball. I mean, let's call it like it is. Statistically speaking, they had Aaron Judge and Juan Soto with two of the best 1-2 punches you're ever going to see. The rest of the lineup left a lot to be desired. They had Giancarlo Stanton mix in some big postseason home runs. They did just enough. American League was weak, got to the World Series. Now they got to do it differently. Let's see if they can.
It is sad that that is no longer a 1-2 punch. Just from a Yankees fan standpoint, a baseball fan standpoint, man, that was a joy to watch those two guys back to back. And even if the rest of the team is a little more balanced, man, and I like the bullpen, I like the rest of the team. It's just, man, those guys would be fun to watch. NL East, is it again three team race? Well, you can talk me into any version of Mets, Braves, Phillies, Phillies, Braves, Mets. You can kind of throw a blanket over these three teams. Do you have any conviction on who actually wins the division?
I'm taking the Braves to win the division because they won 90 games last year. And let's think about this for a minute. Acuña, non-factor. Albies, most of the year, non-factor. Austin Riley went down with an injury. These are young, stud, dynamic position players. And Olsen didn't have his best year. So to
Nothing out of
me,
Strider.
Strider coming back. Now, again, that's delicate because of Tommy John and what that provides and whatnot. Is he going to come all the way back? Many guys do, some don't. It's case by case. I think regular season, they're going to score a ton of runs. And they are a good organization. They find answers. I like the Braves to win the division. To me, the Phillies, I'm concerned about the bottom of the order. Their pitching is great. No denying that. That bottom of the order is weak. 6 through 9 in that Philly lineup to me is just, it's lacking punch. You saw it in the Mets postseason series. Mets, listen, getting Soto is a huge deal. Met lineup is going to score a ton of runs. Well, that pitching, that starting pitching is a problem. Now, they're going to try and sell you on Hefner, Stearns, pitching lab. They have Clay Holmes slotted as like their number three starter. Not like, hey, number five, we're rolling the dice. Let's see if they, no. Not going to see Montas. Senga basically is like pins and needles on whether or not he's going to pitch. I think Manaea will be good. I think what he did last year is sustainable. But who are their starting pitchers? Do you believe in David Peterson? Is what he did last year for real? I don't know about that. Holmes, don't think he can be a starting pitcher. The Mets are smart. They'd re-sign Quintana and put him back into the mix because at least he's a guy that could take the ball every fifth day. I have serious questions about what this Met rotation is going to look like. I really do.
Totally with you. They were doing one of those what was it called, MLB Network preview show, and I was like, with football season, it's just not on the tip of your tongue. But I saw the five guys listed with Montas out. It was like Griffin Canning was the five, maybe Peterson the four, and the three guys you mentioned, Holmes, Manaea, and Senga. In reverse order. Wow, that's your pitching. I understand Alonso, Lindor, Soto. You're gonna win a ton of games with offense, but man, that is and they can renovate. They can get somebody at the deadline. You can always go that route. It's expensive at the deadline to get pitching, and who knows who's available. I'm totally with you. That is not championship pitching.
I will say though, I like their bullpen. I think the Mets have a very solid bullpen with Minter, with Stanek coming back, obviously having Diaz. I think the Mets bullpen, which struggled in the first half of last year, will be much better this time around.
How many wins for the Mets?
Think low 90s.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick them to be a playoff team. I'm going to pick them not to win their division. That's kind of where I stand right now. I think the Braves will be, I think they finish in second place. I think it'll be Braves, Mets, Phillies in that order.
Do you like either over under for Mets Yanks? They're both 91 and a half, 92 and a half.
They're very tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. Because now you got to tell me what the climate of the sport looks like as far as, hey, what's it going to take to make the playoffs? You know, like that's the division. They both are in divisions that are tricky. The good news is they get to play outside of those, more of a balanced schedule. I can tell you this. I will not go anywhere near the Met total. The Yankee total, I'd lean over, but I'd be careful. Because again, if Baltimore is resurgent, if Tampa's a little better, you know, maybe getting in the playoffs will be in the high 80s, for goodness sakes. Like, there's a world where the Yankees win 85 games. Very, very plausible. If Aaron Judge, to your point, misses time,
Yep.
they have a couple injuries in the pitching department, you could live in that world. There's a lot of volatility there.
Yankees will go over if they're healthy, but it's a 6 month season, and you have Judge, who's older now. Cole's older. Fried, misses games. There's a version of that where, one of those guys is just law of averages. One of those guys is probably going to miss a few weeks, a month here or there. It's just, we can look at these teams on paper and say, oh, they're going to be, healthy from April to October. That's not the reality of it. That's usually not how baseball works. Is there any other over-unders you like? Do you have a sleeper team in baseball? Anything, any other takes for baseball wise?
I gave you the Red Sox. I like the Oakland A's.
Me too.
I like them as an over. I like what they did this offseason. I
71
like
and
the
a
way they
half.
played down the
They're
stretch.
feisty. Got some pitching too.
I'm gonna be in on Oakland. Now, here's another one. And I can't believe I'm going back to this well, but there's a reason for it. And I think you know where I'm going. Cincinnati, because of who's taking over as a manager.
Completely with you. I'm with you too. That some
Now,
plus
last year, Will,
645.
I remember coming on with you. I'm like, they got a positive run differential. They're going to
Yes.
make a run in the Central. It's September, and I'm still
Never
waiting. They had
happened.
the positive run differential still, and they stunk. I think the Reds are going to be a winning team this year. They will be a winning team with Francona because that's what he does. He will come in, and they will clean up a lot of the things that plagued them throughout last year. I like Cincinnati.
Yeah, add Brady Singer to the rotation. Spencer Steer is a quiet, he can hit you 30 homers, bat, and he's back. He missed a lot of last season. And you mentioned the run difference. I think they're plus five in runs. So that's a team that, look, they're plus 625. That's a division you can steal where, all right, Milwaukee's not a juggernaut. It's not like the Dodgers or one of these other teams. That's a division you could steal. So I'm totally with you. Football wise, before we get you out of here, any conviction, any idea where these quarterbacks end up?
Oh, jeez. Jets dropped the ball by not bringing back Rodgers. They can try to spin it any which way they want. Who are they getting that's going to be a better option? They're not. Like, this talk down, they're trying to trade up. Good luck. You're picking seventh in the draft. There are a lot of quarterback needy teams ahead of you. I'm going to say Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh. I just think there's too much of a need. He needs to go to a winning team. I'll say he ends up with the Steelers. I want to see the Giants end up with one of these two guys. Maybe that's just me hoping for it from a content standpoint. But Matt, you tell me Matthew Stafford's really going to come to the Giants with the Eagles and Washington in the division, like,
Strange fit.
and to play in cold weather, like, yeah, like it's good for the Giants for next year. But like, yeah, I think you have a ceiling of 9 wins. It's a weird spot there. So I'm going to say Stafford, contrary to popular opinion at the moment, ends up back with the Rams. That's my sense. I
Yeah,
say the Giants get one of the two quarterbacks.
I don't know where this Stafford is definitely leaving the Rams stuff came from. I know his wife made comments and stuff about the direction of the team, but I don't know where that came from. Well, last one. Do you have a team that you think that you have circled for next year as a sleeper, like Cincy, can they bounce back? I know San Francisco is a popular one because of all of their talent. Do you have a team that you're eyeing already for futures for next year?
Well, I already bet the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I already did. Just the number was too good. I'll take Joe Burrow at 60 to 18 to 1 and figure one of these years he's going to win it. NFC's tough because there are a lot of teams you could get involved with. Assuming he comes back, it's a big assumption. The Ram number to me is too high. If
30,
Stafford
30 to
comes
one
back,
range, something like that.
too high. I don't care if they lose Cooper Kupp either. Stafford and the Rams should have beat the Eagles. If the snow didn't pick up in the third quarter of that game, they would have won the game. They were outplaying Philly, who obviously we saw dominated Washington, dominated Kansas City, and ended up winning. That's why I can't. Stafford's going to leave the Rams. The Rams are going to say, hey, we had the Eagles beaten. That's it. We're moving on. It's just bizarre to me. Bizarre to me. So that's what I'm keeping in mind, the 30 to 1.
JJ, appreciate the time, man. The Ringer, New York, where can everyone else find you?
You know it. Ringer, New York, New York, Ringer Gambling Show, and then nightly, 11 o'clock, Honda Sports Night on SNY.
Always fun, man. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Will. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you to John Jastrzemski. Always fun to talk to him. Rate, review, subscribe, and enjoy the final weekend of February. This time next week, we will be talking about March, a word that is welcome around these parts. So rate, review, subscribe, Apple, Spotify. See you next week.